This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we continue the last part of the second of the adhkar, and that is the recitation of al-mu'awwidhat. And we've reached al-mu'awwidhatayn, and we've reached the last of the mu'awwidhatayn, which is Surah An-Nas. And we've already found out that Surah Al-Ikhlas was about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beginning to the end of it. And we said that this tawheed that a person has adhered to and has adopted and has taken as a way of life and teaches and preaches and implements, as strong as he is holding onto his tawheed, he must acknowledge and know that there are external dangers and internal dangers that could affect his tawheed to the point where he could lose it altogether. So Surah Al-Falaq, that came after Surah Al-Ikhlas, is teaching us how we seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's protection from the external evils. مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. There are external evils that can harm a person's tawheed. And so you're seeking Allah Azza wa Jalla's protection from all those external evils. And then Surah An-Nas comes, and this is what we are with today. And this is the internal evil that could damage a person's tawheed. And that is al-waswas al-khannas, the evil whisperer, lihuwa al-shaytan. If you let him into your life and obey him and give in to him, the tawheed is finished. It will be damaged with a person, because the purpose of a shaytan is that he wants to bring people to al-kufr. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And as he says, he would say to Allah Azza wa Jal that you will hardly find any of them being grateful. Grateful in this ayah meaning muwahideen. This is his purpose in life. So a believer must be aware of his enemy, and he must seek Allah Azza wa Jal, or he must seek Allah's protection from this enemy that could damage the greatest thing this person has. Al-waswas, we said that it is the evil of all evils. It is the root cause of all the evils that were mentioned in Surah Al-Falaq. Remember in Surah Al-Falaq, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ, from the evils of the night when the night enters, and all the major crimes and the sins, they happen at night. Al-waswas. People obeyed their waswas and committed their zina at night, and they drank their alcohol at night, and the magician did his work at night, because he gave in and he obeyed to al-waswas. Aslan, the magician has given bay'ah to al-shaytan. He worships the shaytan. Al-naffathat. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. Al-hasid, the one who envies others, he obeys al-shaytan. And he allows waswasa to al-shaytan to enter his life. And as a result, he begins to envy others. So seeking protection from the shaytan is a must. You cannot live a successful life without asking Allah to protect you from a shaytan, al-waswas, al-khannas. And this shaytan exists in both, min al-jinnati wal-nas, from jinn kind and mankind. When we get to that last day, I'll explain it more. Every morning and every evening, you are being reminded of your greatest enemy. Every single morning, as you're reading the surah, three times you are being reminded three times over that the biggest enemy you will face today is going to be a shaytan, al-waswas al-khannas. And then you read it again three times in the evening, reminding yourself three times over. Don't lose focus. Your biggest enemy in life is going to be a shaytan, al-waswas al-khannas. And after every prayer, you're also being reminded that just because you prayed now, it doesn't mean you're safe min al-waswas. So you're going to read Surah An-Nas after as-salat to remind yourself that even though you just engaged in a worship and you're still in the masjid, you just prayed, you remind yourself after as-salat immediately that even though I had performed the worship, Allah Azza wa Jal loved the servant when he's standing before his hand praying, but you remind yourself that this is a reality, it's going nowhere. It is going to remain al-waswas, wa-shaytan remains with the human being until he dies. When he dies, he moves away. Khalas, there's no point after that. And before you sleep, you'll read Surah An-Nas again, 3 times, so that you remind yourself, just before you sleep, this is my greatest enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatir, he said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Indeed, a shaytan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. See, this, the first part we all know, that the shaytan is an enemy. But then Allah Azza wa Jal would say, then treat him like an enemy. And everyone knows well how to treat an enemy. There are certain people in your life that you don't want to see. So you know well how to block them, how to ignore them, how to move away from them, how to not get them involved in your life, and so on. That same attitude you have with people, use it upon a shaytan. Block him and reject him and remove him from your life. And continue to protect yourself by seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from الشيطان. إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير. He only invites his party and he calls his followers. He only invites his followers to al-kufr, to disbelief. Why? So that they can enter the hellfire with him on the day of judgment. This is his only role in life from now until he dies. And this is the only reason and motive for why he evil whispers to mankind. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, focus. When we read the Qur'an, and this is a great worship, the best worship is to read Al-Qur'an. And so the most beloved deed to Allah, which is As-Salat, a great part of As-Salat is Qur'an, reading Qur'an. When we read Qur'an, we are told by Allah to seek Allah's protection from ash-shaytan. Isn't that true? Before we read the Qur'an, we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah commanded us to do this. He said, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Notice, and if I'm going to open the Qur'an, I'm going to do nothing wrong. I'm reading Qur'an. I'm engaging in the best act a person could be involved in, reading the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Before you start, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. طيب. Imagine then, when you're not reading the Qur'an, you're not engaged in a worship, and you're out and about in society, walking around, walking among the corruption, among the fitan, among the evil, among the sins. Wallah, you walk 500 meters down a busy or a business street or a business lane, 500 meters only, and you'll see almost 70% of the minor signs, the banks of al-riba, the pubs, the clubs, the brothels, the shops that are right next to each other. This is taqarub al-aswaq, one of the minor signs of the... not even 500, maybe 300 meters down the road. You'll see 70 to 80% of the minor signs. And if you're engaged in worship, sitting in the house of Allah, where there is no evil, no fitna, no corruption, sit down and read the Quran, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Imagine it outside. When you open your eyes, not to the word of Allah, but to the corruption and the evil and the fitan out there, how much more do you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection? Then this is the idea. This is why in the morning and in the evening, there is the recitation of the surah. And seeking Allah's protection from the shaytan will come again in another dhikr that when we get to, we'll explain bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So also on this point, you should know, and the more beloved a deed to Allah Azza wa Jal, the stronger the evil whispering of a shaytan. The more beloved a deed is to Allah, the stronger his waswas, because he wants to remove you from that which is most beloved to Allah. And the most hated sins to Allah, his waswas would also be strong, because he wants to bring you to that which is most hated by Allah Azza wa Jal. For this is also why we recite al-isti'adha before reading the Qur'an, because it's from the most beloved deeds that a shaytan would come to push you and move you away from this word of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this surah, Surah An-Nas, is about seeking Allah's protection from one evil, and that is al-waswas. It is made up of 6 ayat, and we said Surah Al-Falaq is made up of 5 ayat, and this totals to 11 ayat. And it has been narrated in the authentic ahadith that the knots of magic that were made upon the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were exactly 11 knots. And so every ayah of these 11 ayat from Surah Al-Falaq to Surah Al-Nas would destroy the magic of each knot until it was removed finally from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we mentioned the virtues of Surah Al-Falaq and Nas in our previous lesson. We'll speak about relationships between Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. Understand, number one, they both begin with قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّي. However, Surah Al-Falaq, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. In Surah Al-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Why is this the case? You see, we said that all of the creation of Allah is Al-Falaq. Al-Falaq means that which splits. And everything that Allah Azza wa Jal created, in one way or another, splits and something comes out of it. Whether it's the time, فَالِقُ الْإِصْبَاحِ, the darkness of the night splits and the morning light comes out. The plants, they split. The trees, the animals, human beings, as they give birth, the clouds, and so on. And since Surah Al-Falaq was speaking about many evils and harms that can affect mankind and other than mankind, right? Because al-hasad and magic doesn't only affect mankind. It can affect animals, right? It can affect objects, non-living, living. It can affect many things. So since Surah Al-Falaq spoke about many evils that affect many things, it began with قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, that referred to the Lord of everything, right? That splits. Whereas in Surah An-Nas, it is speaking about one evil that only affects mankind. So it began, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, the Lord of mankind. Because the evil that is mentioned in Surah An-Nas, which is الوسواس الخناس, الوسواس, the evil whisperer, Shaytan, his evil whispering only affects mankind. It doesn't affect the animals, the trees, the sun, the stars, the living and non-living. No, it only affects mankind. So it was appropriate to begin Surah An-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And there is, of course, the matter in where al-ulama rahimahumullah would discuss, can the jinni cause waswas to another jinni? Can the shaytan cause waswas to another shaytan? And here there is difference of opinion, but the more stronger and correct opinion is as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, that this is not the case. This doesn't happen. And the confusion was, عند قوله تعالى من الجنة والناس. When we get there, we'll explain why it only affects mankind and it does not, jinni to jinni does not happen. It only happens from jinni to mankind. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Al-waswas only affects al-nas. So the surah began with قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The second relationship here is that in Surah Al-Falaq, we saw a gradual progression from what's harmful to more harmful to more harmful. And that was the evils of the night, غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. And more harmful than this is النَّفَّاثَات, which are the magicians. More harmful than this is الْحَسَد, the envy. Aslan, the magicians are only motivated and inspired because of their envy. And now Surah An-Nas is going to discuss the absolute and most harmful evil, and that is Al-Waswas. SubhanAllah. And why do we say that this is the most harmful of the evils? Because this will not only destroy your worldly life, but Al-Waswas will also destroy your afterlife if you're not protected from it. Whereas the evils that are in Surah Al-Falaq, يعني if someone had magic perhaps and remained patient, هذا, it could be a source for him to enter the paradise and a source of reward for him, kafara for his sins and so on. But this evil that is in Surah An-Nas, if you give in to it and you obey waswasatu shaytan, هذا, his life is destroyed and his afterlife is destroyed. This is why it is the most يعني harmful of the evils. The third relationship is that in Surah Al-Falaq, it ended وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, seeking Allah's protection from the envier whenever he envies. It ended with the disease of envy and jealousy. And the question is, from among the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the most envious, the most jealous? Al-Shaytan. His jealousy against mankind began in the paradise with our father Adam alayhi salam, when Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam and he commanded the angels to make a sajda, and Iblis refused and he became arrogant, and his arrogance was as a result of his jealousy, since Allah had honored mankind over Iblis. Eventually he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. And his words, يعني along in this matter. But the idea was that من شر حاسد إذا حسد. Who is the most envious against mankind? هو الشيطان. So now Surah An-Nas would address this issue. The fourth relationship here, and this is very important, understand it. It gives importance to how great the harm of al-waswas is. In Surah Al-Falaq, we called Allah Azza wa Jal through one name of His. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. One name. We called to Allah through one name so that He protect us from many evils. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. And more specifically, three evils that were mentioned in the surah, the evils that happened at the night, the magician and the envier. But contrary to this, in Surah An-Nas, we are calling Allah through three names of His. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Three names of His to protect us from one evil. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. And then the rest of the surah is an explanation of this shaitan and what he does and where he whispers and who they are. يَلَّذِي يَوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. You understand this idea? One name of Allah Azza wa Jal for many evils in Surah Al-Falaq. Three names of Allah for one evil in Surah An-Nas. Then this is a huge evil. الوسواس الخناس. طيب. And since this is the last surah in the Quran, Surah An-Nas, it's good to once again look at the relationship between the last surah and the first surah in the Quran. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we asked Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end of it to save us from Al-Maghdubi Alayhim wa Al-Dallin, the path of Al-Maghdubi Alayhim, those who earned Allah's anger. And also to save us from the path of Al-Dallin, those who were misguided and were led astray. At the end of the Quran, in Surah An-Nas, we are asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from the greatest evil known to man, and that is the evil of al-waswas al-khannas. Wal-shaytan is on top of the list when it comes to al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dallin. Who is the most of the creation of Allah that earned Allah's anger? Al-shaytan. And who's the most misguided of Allah Azza wa Jal's creation? Is al-shaytan. He's on top of this list. And everyone later on that followed in his path would come after him in that list of al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dallin. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, he began this surah saying, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. We spoke a lot about قُلْ and أَعُوذُ and بِرَبِّي. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ here. Say, announce, make it public, recite it on your tongue, announcing your weakness and your desperate need for Allah Azza wa Jal. And say, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek the protection of the Lord of mankind. رَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek. أَعُوذُ. We said the desperate need that you rush to the one who you'd most definitely and certainly know he can protect. This is the word أَعُوذُ. To rush to someone, to rush to Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who most definitely and certainly can protect. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And we said, رَبِّ النَّاسِ. Lord of mankind, because the evil in the surah only affects mankind. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And this name of Allah, رَبْ النَّاسِ, it affirms His rububiyyah, Allah Azza wa Jal's lordship. He is رَبْ النَّاسِ, meaning He's the one who created them, He sustains them, He provides for them, He maintains their affairs, and He decrees all matters in the heavens and the earth. This is رَبْ النَّاسِ. For in the word رَبِّ النَّاسِ, there is an acknowledgement that, oh Allah, you created me, you provide for me, you sustain me. I'm only alive because you're رَبِّ النَّاسِ. Once you have turned to رَبِّ النَّاسِ and you have said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, you now must acknowledge that He is مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Since He's the رَبِّ, since He created everything, maintains and provides for everyone and everything, it only makes sense that He is Malik al-Nas. He owns them. If He created them, meaning He owns them, right? That's the gradual progression, logical progression. So we went from رب الناس to Malik al-Nas. He created them, therefore He owns them all. Each and every of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation is under the authority and control of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nothing escapes His control and authority. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. And the name of Allah, Malik al-Nas, this affirms His names and attributes. To Him belong the most perfect and beautiful names and attributes. Now, as you're reading this surah in the morning, you've reached here, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Your certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal is increasing. You're honoring and you're praising Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, you are realizing your weakness and your desperate need for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I'm crying and begging to Allah Azza wa Jal through His name, رَبِّ النَّاسِ. You're the creator of all of us. Then, not only this, you're also acknowledging You created me and at the same time you're Malik al-Nas. You own me. You own my affairs. I don't move except by your permission. I don't blink an eye except by your permission. How weak is a human being? When you read this and you're understanding and you're acknowledging this meaning from the very morning and then in the evening as well. So you're saying, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Malik al-Nas. At this moment, even though you're feeling strong, though you're feeling weak and in desperate need of Allah Azza wa Jal, at the same time, a believer feels strong at the same time. Why? Because Alhamdulillah, this is His Lord. Alhamdulillah that it is Allah who is Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas. Alhamdulillah that I have a Lord who has perfect names and perfect attributes. Now, when you acknowledge these two matters, these two names of Allah, Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, it must lead to you being grateful to Him. You have to be grateful now. رَبِّ النَّاسُ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ Is there anything else? Is there anyone else that has the name رَبْ and Malik? Is there anyone? There is no one on the existence of earth that owns this complete and perfect name of الرَّبْ and الْمَلِك. No one. Yeah, it's true. Perhaps we can say about a person, if you own a house, we say about him رَبُّ الْبَيْتِ. That is permissible in Arabic to say رَبُّ الْبَيْتِ, meaning that you are the owner of the house. If you have camels, in the Arabs they will say huwa rabbul ibil. He is the owner of these camels. And as well, it's true some people are malik in this worldly life. Malik, he owns something. You own it, but you don't have complete ownership over something. You might own your car, but you cannot drive it the way you want. You own your house and you cannot do whatever you like in the front and in the back. You need to go get permission and whatever it is. This is for things that you own, right? So who owns this name Rabb and Malik in its entirety, in its complete, most perfect form? No one except Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore now, when you're saying قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, you reach the conclusion that I need to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the highest form of gratitude to Allah is to accept Him as إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the God of mankind, the one Lord worthy of worship. This is what إِلَه means. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is what it is. الْإِلَهِ is الْمَعْبُودِ, the one who is worshipped alone. And the worship of everything else would be false and rejected. And it leads to the hellfire. SubhanAllah. How can a person humiliate himself? By worshipping other than Allah, you humiliate yourself. And you lead yourself to the hellfire. مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. فَإِذَنْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. These three names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, it highlights تَوْحِيدُ الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His worship. That all worship is directed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Since He is رَبِّ النَّاسِ, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, how silly if you acknowledge these two and then you went somewhere else to worship something else. And this is what a lot of mankind did. This is from Quraysh's time. We have ayat in the Quran that would say, Quraysh would know Allah Azza wa Jal is the owner of all things and He's the one who created them. But when it came to إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, we can't do that. Actually, not only this, they can do that. But they would say, we can't do that alone. We'll worship your Lord, but under the condition you worship our idols. 1 year and we'll worship your Lord for 1 year. So they don't have an issue. There could be, you can get out of them a worship of Allah, but it's not going to be alone. As Hud alayhi salam would say to the Hud, Ad would say to Hud, what would they say to him? They say to him, قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَنَذَرَ مَا كَانَ يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا. The issue is not about worshipping Allah. The issue was about worshipping Allah وَحْدَهُ, Him alone. Because if we're going to dedicate worship to Him alone, then that means all our idols gone, khalas, all our business is gone, all our respect among the tribe is gone, all our leadership and authority among our people's finished, all gone. Now we need to follow you now, O Prophet, and we need to now just wait and listen to what Allah says and follow. Now we can't do this. So reject. It wasn't a me, just come and pray or fast and all good, you can go back and do what you want. Well, this is what they wanted. This is what they wanted. Well, worship your Lord. But everything that we got on the side should always be, or should be left. This is why embracing a tawheed and the worship of Allah was difficult. Then it requires a complete submission, a complete sacrifice. Throw everything out and you're embracing a totally new way of life. This is these two things here, Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas. The result of them is that now you accept Allah as being Ilahin Nas, the only Lord worthy of worship. Tamam. And by the way, these three things, these three names of Allah Azza wa Jal, they also came in Surah Al-Fatiha, the first surah of the Quran. Alhamdu lillah, lillah, al-ilah, Rabbi al-alameen, Rabbi al-nas, al-Rahman al-Rahim, Maliki yawm al-deen, or Maliki yawm al-deen, and that is Malik al-nas. So these three names here in the beginning of the Quran, at the end of the Quran. Now, subhanallah, as though a person's tawheed in Allah's oneness, in His Lordship, and in His names and attributes is being reaffirmed at the end of the Quran. At the beginning of the Quran, Tawheed. At the end of the Quran, At-Tawheed. Subhanallah. And you know, Wallahu A'lam, this is perhaps why Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in his book Al-Sahih, he has a chapter Kitab al-Tawheed. Where is it in Sahih al-Bukhari? Does anyone know? It's the last chapter. Why did he put it as the last chapter? At the beginning is Kitab al-Iman. And he concluded his book with Kitab al-Tawheed. You would have assumed that that's the important, should be at the beginning. So that he can remind you. When you get to the end of the book, you should know that everything you studied, this is the most important part of it. I'm bringing it at the end so that you can conclude your study and your reading of al-Bukhari with the most important pillar so that you never forget. It remains fresh in your mind at the end of the book. Subhanallah. Now, so now the second half of the surah. So what we've done in the first half is we have called to Allah Azza wa Jal. We're saying, Ya Rabb, Ya Malik, Ya Ilahana. You're calling through Allah, to Allah through three perfect names of His. But what do you want? What is the thing that you want? What do you want Allah to protect you from? Now it comes. Min sharri al-waswasil khannas. We seek your protection. Protect us. Our Rabb, our Malik, our Ilah, protect us from sharri al-waswasil khannas, from the evil. And we said last time that shar comes from the word sharar, which is the spark. And a spark, if some of it hits you, it harms you, it hurts. So a shar is the evil that causes harm. And the waswasa of the shaytan is something evil that causes harm to mankind. So protect us from the evil of al-waswas al-khannas, min sharr al-waswas al-khannas. Al-waswas, according to the majority opinion, is referring to the shaytan. That's al-waswas. So the question is, why wasn't the name shaytan mentioned? Min sharr al-shaytan al-khannas. Why min sharr al-waswas al-khannas? What's the wisdom? Wallahu a'lam, al-ulama rahimahumullah, they say that because the main job of the shaytan is al-waswasa, is the evil whispering. This is the main job and the most deadliest evil job of his. Shaytan has other things that he does. He possesses, he steals, he does other things, he attacks, he does things. And he evil whispers. From all his evils, the worst of them all is his waswasa, his evil whispering to mankind. So Allah Azza wa Jal referred to him in شر الوسواس الخناس, highlighting the most evil and the most dangerous quality he has that is dangerous and harmful upon mankind. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. The word waswas, it comes from waswasa. And if you notice, the letters have been repeated. Was, was, waswas, wawseen, and then again wawseen. And the repetition of the letters implies repetition of the action. That his waswasa, it's repeated, it's continuous. He doesn't do waswasa once and then he's gone, you'll never hear him again. Now, next minute, the minute after, the hour later, 2 days, and he's always there, right? Just like, and there are certain words in the Arabic like this, like when we say the earthquake, in Arabic it's zilzal, zal, zal, because it shakes continuously. That same motion is being repeated over time. So waswasa is the evil whispering that comes over and over again, it's repeated. And the letters waswas are in Arabic, we refer to them as huruf istifan, meaning they are low pitch sounds. They're not like the jim or ta, these are high pitch. Waw, sin. They are low pitch sounds, implying that the word itself, waswasa, the word itself is a low silent sound. And the Arabs, they would say, waswasatul huli, when a woman would wear earrings, and the earring is made up of more than one part, and they come in contact with each other, they produce a soft sound that is heard by the E. That is called al-waswasa, linguistically, waswasatul huli. As this earring is moving and making contact with each other, it's making that little soft sound, and it goes into the E. Therefore, al-waswas is the one who makes a soft, evil whispering to the person. Min sharri al-waswasi al-khannas. If it was good speech, it would have been allowed in public, but because it's evil, shameful, horrible, it's wicked speech, it's whispered, it's at a low sound. And you realize this from people. When they have something bad to say, for example, they don't speak it aloud. If they wanted to say it to someone, they'll whisper it to someone next to them. That's the nature of evil. It's always silent, it's always whispered. When someone wants to commit a crime, he keeps it low, he keeps it silent. At night, keep it hidden so that no one sees it. That's the nature of evil. People have this tendency to keep it low. And that in itself is a proof it's wrong. That in itself is a proof that whatever you're doing is wrong. And this is the meaning of فَأَلْهَبَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That Allah Azza wa Jal instilled in the nafs the ability to recognize that which is evil and that which is good. Now, مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الْوَسْوَاسِ. See here again, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Al-waswas, when we translate, we're going to say the evil whisperer. This is a noun. It's a dua. Ism fa'il. It's a noun. It's the name of someone. It's the name of the shaytan. And we did not seek Allah's protection from the evil whispering. We did not seek Allah's protection from the action, from the verb. La. Why? We sought Allah's protection from the evil whisperer. That is a noun, not from the action, the whispering. Because when you seek Allah's protection from the evil whisperer, then you are seeking Allah's protection from his waswasa and from him, himself and all his evils and harms. But if it was to seek Allah's protection from his evil whispering, then that would mean only protect me from this harm of his, and it doesn't cover the other harms. He could be harmed by his other evil weapons that he has. So, min sharri al-waswasi al-khannas, subhanAllah, the most eloquent word. And it covers, it's comprehensive. You're seeking Allah's protection from him, all of him, and all of his evils, especially the most harmful of them to mankind, and that is the evil whispering. Beautiful. Keep in your mind when you're reading these ayat to understand that I'm being protected from all his harms. But more specifically, when he evil whispers to me. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. The word al-waswas teaches us the danger of the shaytan and his greatest attack against mankind. We cried to Allah Azza wa Jal over and over again, رَبْ وَمَلِكْ وَإِلَهِ, implying humility, desperate need for Allah Azza wa Jal. It is the greatest evil because we said it doesn't only destroy your life, it destroys your afterlife. We need to understand how serious the threat of al-waswas, the evil whispering, is in our life. You need to understand how serious this is. Wallah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we cannot afford to belittle this matter. The more you understand how huge and real the threat of a shaytan is, the more you'll take the advice on how to protect yourself from him more seriously. You need to understand the real threat, This is the greatest enemy that will ever face you in your life. And so in the morning, you're being reminded every morning, three times. And after every salat, and in the evening, three times. And before you sleep, three times, you're being reminded about the great danger in your life. Al-waswas. You see, the idea is this. Iblis, he assumed that Adam alayhi salam was the reason for why he was thrown out of the paradise. And he's the reason for why Iblis was cursed until the day of judgment. And the fact that he'll end up in the hellfire, and that would be his final eternal abode. As a result, Iblis is angry. He's fuming, he's frustrated, he's annoyed at the son of Adam and at Adam alayhi salam and of all of mankind. So he made a request to Allah Azza wa Jal when he was cursed and removed from the paradise. He was angry. He made a request. He said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Give me respite, give me life, extend my life until the day of resurrection. Yawmi yub'athun, meaning the day they are all resurrected. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want to die. He wants to avoid death altogether. And there's another reason we'll mention. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Allah didn't give him what he wanted. Remember, he wanted to live all the way until the day of judgment. So avoid death, avoid all of that. But Allah Azza wa Jal didn't give him that. He gave him something of what he requested. And he said to him, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. I'll give you, extend your life, but only to اليوم الوقت المعلوم, to a specific fixed appointed time. And when is this? This is when everyone dies. When the first blow of breath is made in the trumpet and all of living matters die. Finished. Khalas. That's it. And that's when Allah Azza wa Jal remains, and even the angels, all of them die. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hayyu Alladhi La Yamut. And at that moment, he will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. And so العلماء رحمهم الله would say that Iblis's death is between the two blows of the breath in the trumpet. 40. Allahu alam. There are notions that said 40 years. But Allahu alam. But from one blow of breath to the next blow of breath. 40. Khalas. This is the time he dies. So he lives before this, and then he lives after that. So Allah didn't give him what he wanted. He made him taste death. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. So when Allah Azza wa Jal promised him that he will extend his life until the end of this worldly life, he said, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He said, I swear by your might, I will mislead them all. Listen to his word that Allah would mention in the Quran so that we're not unaware of it. Every Muslim should be aware of this. If you're reading the Quran every day, like the recitation of a Sahaba, in which they used to finish the Quran every 7 days, then every single day you'll be reading something about ash-shaytan. Meaning every single day Allah is reminding you of the real threat in your life. We need to understand how serious these words are from Iblis himself. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوَيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in other places, ash-shaytan would say, لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ. Meaning I'm going to control them by their jaws. هَذَا لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ, meaning I'll control them by their jaws. Like when a person is on a camel or on a horse or a riding animal and he's holding the reins and he controls its head, he controls its jaw. You know, just act like a little, they say, heck with the pinky, just move him like this and then the horse is moving left and right. Heck, this is what he's going, this is his purpose. This is why he wanted to live. Nothing more than this. This is the only reason for why he wanted to live. So that he can deceive mankind. In other ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal would say that Iblis would explain exactly how he's going to come to them. He'd say, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will surely sit and wait for them. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ. He has all the time in the world. He's going to sit on every path that leads to Allah. And he'll try to turn you back. Go. Don't come from here. No good. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. He'll come from in front of them. Meaning he'll cause them to doubt the afterlife and matters of the future. لَأَتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. He'll come from behind. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, meaning I will tempt them to fall in the lusts and the evil desires of this worldly life. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ. I'll come to them from their right Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, meaning I'll keep them away from the good deeds because goodness is ascribed to the right. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ And I'll come to them from their left, meaning I'll tempt them into the sins and into the haram, into the fitr, because that's what's ascribed to the left. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And hardly you'll see any of them grateful. هذا, this is his biggest agenda, to keep you away from the gratitude of Allah. And the greatest form of gratitude to Allah, we said, is to be a slave of Allah, to say لا إله إلا الله. وَيَعْنِي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, إن الشيطان قعد لابن آدم بأطرقه كلها. الشيطان, he sat in all the paths that lead to Allah. All of them. How many good deeds are there? Who knows? الحديث mentions the النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, الإيمان بضع وستون شعبة. That al-Iman, the branches of Iman, there is a book, Imam al-Bayhaqi, first one to write in the branches of Iman, Shu'abul Iman. He lists them, one, the first good deed you can do, the second one, the third one, the fourth, and keeps on going until about 60, 63, somewhere there. These are the good deeds, up until 70, some mention. But these are the good deeds, visiting the grave, praying, as-sunan, fasting, charity, sadaqah, ihsan, birrul walidain, visiting the sick, praying upon the dead. These are all branches of Iman and Islam. These are the good deeds that we know. As shaytan is sitting on each branch and path that leads to Allah. قَعَدَ لِبْنِ آدَمِ بِأَطْرُقِهِ كُلِّهَا And then the hadith would mention certain examples. فَقَعَدَ لَهُ فِي طَرِيقِ الْإِسْلَامِ As for the kafir, the one who is not a Muslim, as shaytan is sitting on his path as well. Because the path of Islam, this is of course a gateway to goodness. For he sits on it. And he says to him, look at his waswas. He says to him, أتسلم وتذر دينك ودين آبائك وآباء آبائك. He says to him, you're really going to accept Islam now. You're really going to accept it. And abandon the religion of your father and your forefather and your forefather's forefathers. Really? Well, subhanAllah, this is so true. Most of the time, when you speak to someone about Islam who is not a Muslim, and then at the end, he finds the conversation too overwhelming, too much for him. He doesn't want to think. It makes sense, but just keep me away from this. At the end, most of them would say, oh, look, you know, this is something my parents raised me upon. And, you know, that's it. We just were born and we went to the church and we went to whatever it is. And خلاص, I've got to uphold what my family upheld and taught and يعني, sent down as a legacy to us. He, SubhanAllah. Yeah, this is waswasatu shaytan. Waswasatu shaytan. Wallah, I sat with someone in the Emirates, and I spoke to him about Islam, and he said to me the same thing. I said, wait, just before you go, I want to show you that what you said, we already knew you're going to say. Look here. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ See that? This is what Allah said that you'll give of an excuse. You know, that doesn't work. Really? You've all the knowledge and the wisdom you have, you limited it to saying that because my parents are in something, you're upon it. Then, enta, do you believe? You say this. Do you believe in resurrection? He says, no, there's no such thing as resurrection. This is for people that are atheists and all that. They don't believe in resurrection altogether. Like, so why are you honoring what your forefathers did if you're not even going to meet them? Why would you honor? Why would you honor their legacy if you yourself don't believe in resurrection? People that believe in resurrection, oh, okay, maybe I'll give you a leeway there because you're going to meet them and they're going to be happy and proud about you that you upheld their legacy and whatever it is. But enta, as an atheist, why would you say this is what we learned, that this is what has been passed down? I mean, you're not even going to meet them. You don't believe in resurrection. So what are you upholding? What are you honoring? So it's a silly conversation. It becomes a very silly logical explanation for this person to uphold the kufr he has. Like a shaytan, plays in circles. And when it comes to a believer, a shaytan's main agenda and his most evil whispering to this person, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, he tries to bring a person to kufr. That's his first thing. If he cannot, he'll lead the person to al-bid'ah, innovations. Because innovations, some of them lead to kufr, some of them can be kufr. If he cannot get you to the bid'ah, he'll lead you to the major sin. If he cannot lead you to the major sin, to the minor sin, and to be persistent on it. If he cannot do that, and you're far away from that, he'll lead you to the makruhat, to the disliked matters. If he cannot do that, he'll tempt you to engage in the mubahat, permissible matters. that don't have reward in them if there was no sincere, correct intention behind them. If he cannot do that, he'll make you prefer what's less best than what's better. Always, there are certain worships that have more reward than others. He'll try to take you to that which has less reward than another. Heck, abadan! He doesn't leave anyone. With everyone, he's got something. I think you need to focus and you need to be aware of this. Now, he might enter upon you from 50 doors of good to lead you to one door of evil and sin. And that's why seeking Allah's protection in the morning, in the evening, after as-salat, before sleep, is very important. You're seeking Allah's protection from this person that you don't know. Maybe you're far away from the kufr, far away from the bid'ah and innovations, far away from the major sins. But still, you're not safe from him. You're far away from what displeases Allah, but he's still so close. And he's trying to bring you to other things to distract you. And from there, he'll start leading you towards the bigger stuff. So you need to be very careful. This is why I remember this as a benefit from our Shaykh. He taught us that in Al-Jamarat, when a person does Hajj, and then there is stoning, Al-Rajm. How many all up, all together? So on the first day there is seven, and then there is, on the last 3 days of Al-Hajj, 777. And then 777, and 777. So that's 21, 21, 21, and 7. How much is that? 70. 70 stones. And the roads that lead to Iman, what did we say? The paths, the good deeds, are what? About 70, Shu'abul Iman, 70. So this is one stone for each good deed that he is sitting on. قَعَدَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ يَطْرِقِهِ كُلِّهَا. You stone. So that's like a covenant between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, that you will work. You will work on yourself to reject his waswasa that is on each, that he is sitting on each of the paths that lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. How does the evil whispering happen? You should be aware of it so that you don't fall into it. And the best story that would reveal this to us is the story that Allah would mention in the Quran, and that is between Iblis and Ash-Shaytan. Iblis, اللي هو Iblis, نعم من الشياطين, and Adam alayhi salam. When Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam in the paradise, he said to him, roam freely in this paradise. Eat whatever you like. Him and Hawa, فَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا رَغَدًا رَغَدًا مِنَ الرَّغَدْ. Enjoy, but eat with enjoyment, wherever you like. And of course, the space and the land of the paradise. And the more correct opinion is that Adam alayhi salam was, Allah Azza wa Jal created him, and then he put him in the paradise that the believers would end up in on the day of judgment. And then that same paradise that the believers would walk in on the day of judgment, that is the paradise he was in. So you can imagine, the land is vast, it's huge, it's bigger than this earth. Imagine this, eat anything you like, enjoy whatever you like, you and Hawa. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ. But there's one tree, don't come near it. And imagine, I put you on this earth by yourself, one human being on this earth. And I said to you, there's a tree in the country town of Orange, right besides the petrol station. Don't touch it, don't come near it. Where are you going to find it? Why would you even desire to go to it? There's no point. But look at the strong evil waswasa of a shaytan when it happened to our father Adam alayhi salam. And this is the first experience of mankind with a shaytan. There was no example before Adam alayhi salam for him to take heed and notice. He had no one before him. And he will, by the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, he'll fall into this. And this becomes a lesson for us. Now we're aware of this fact. But this is where the story happens in terms of how does he evil whisper to man? Listen to this. He has only one thing. If you realize this, and I'll show you how it happens in this worldly life we're in, if you realize it, bi-idhnillah, you've got the real lenses on. You've got the real lens on to live this life and being able to push him away from your life. This is what he did. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُورِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. He said to them, this is his first waswasa, this is what it was. He said to them, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إلا أن تكون ملكين أو تكون من الخالدين. He says, look, the only reason for why Allah forbid you from that tree he told you about, you should not approach this tree, the only reason why he forbid you is because if you eat from that tree, you'll become two angels, malakain, or two kings. You'll become angels, like the angels that are roaming in this paradise. You'll become like them. أو تكون من الخالدين. And if you eat from it, خلاص, that's your ticket to last in here forever. You'll never be removed from here at all. See what he's doing? This is a forbidden tree, but he decorated it. He decorates it. He uses beautiful words to make it appealing. This is a tree, if you ate from it, you're going to reside in here for life. It's a disaster. This is exactly what he does. In Surah Taha, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said something, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. He called it شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ, the eternal tree, in which if you eat from it, you're going to live in here forever. وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى, and a kingdom that is long-lasting, it'll never end. Imagine you have a kingdom. The more you use from it, nothing is decreased from it. This is a desire of man. Allah put this in us, right? So being Adam alayhi salam, being a human being with these qualities inside a person, he began to give in. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. He began to deceive them bit by bit. والشيطان, to make things worse, Allah Azza wa Jal would say that he said, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He did qasam. He said, I swear by Allah. He's making qasam to Adam and Hawa that I'm only a sincere advisor. I'm giving you the sincerest advice. Look, I don't want money. I don't want any service from you. I'm just from the heart. It's coming sincere advice. Listen, really listen to me. This is the best. This is it. This is the tree of the paradise. This is where you should be. What are you doing everywhere else? Go there. But then, heck, this is what the shaitan works. Try to relate it to examples that you have in this life. But this is the idea of what's happening here. And so Allah, this is how the world is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says at the end of time, people will drink alcohol, يُسَمُّونَهُ بِغَيْرِ اسْمِهِ. They will give it a name other than its name. Alcohol in Arabic is called what? Khamar. See that khamar has even a nasty spell to it. This is what it is. But in the Arab world, they call it mashrubat ruhiya. Heck, this is what they drinks of spirit that uplift the spirit. This is what they're called, right? Spirits. How did it go from alcohol to spirits? This is what he did. So now a person thinks, if I'm feeling down, I drink it and my spirit is raised. Shaitan did this. He made the people change the names around. Az-zina today is called personal service. What's wrong with a personal service? Khalas, no problems. Anabas, wallah, even yani, as I came back on a flight, wallahi, it happened that I went through a menu, the menu for the dining on the plane. You can open the menu, you can see what's on it. Wallah, I want you to listen to this to see how bad it is. What shaitan has done. So when they come to the beverages, they'll say they'll say tea, coffee, soft drink, Coke, orange. That's it. These are the normal stuff. When it comes to the wine section, it's different. There's about 50 words to describe that wine bottle. And it's tempting. Listen to things. I know, I'll put a screenshot here. A classic warm climate Shiraz. This South Australian full-bodied red wine showcases generous flavors of ripe summer fruit, black currant pastel, or cigar box and vanilla form of oak barrel. Wallah, this is in the menu. In a delicious medium-bodied sparkling wine with baked pea, honey, and notes of toasted bread. This is the description of a wine bottle. Yani the one who's reading is thinking, wallah, I'm gonna get a pear in this and a taste of honey and some bread. How's this taste? Shuf, and there's competitions in the world. Well, there's judging with our taster. This one's 60 year old, this is 18 years old. Shuf, shaitan, how he worked. And they don't do this to any other beverage, just an orange juice and move on. Even the shaitan is working. Wallahi, we laugh because it's funny. But the reality is, people fell into this. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ They have fallen into this deception. They have fallen into this trap. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. And then, يعني obviously, Adam alayhi salam, فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ They said, imagine this. Iblis, he promised Adam and Hawa, he promised them to be a sincere advisor. And look how he deceived them. Imagine then his effect on people who he promised to mislead them. Imagine, you understood this? You understood it? I'll repeat it again so you can understand. Al-ulama rahimahumullah would say, this Iblis, this is what he did to Adam. He made him fall into the trap. This is after he had made qasam, he'll be a sincere advisor to him. Wal-ulama rahimahumullah would say that Adam alayhi salam fell into the sin because he never, ever, ever believed that someone would use Allah's name for a lie. And he had used Allah's name for a lie. That's for mankind. This is the first experience of mankind to something like this. So imagine then his evil effect upon people who he has already said to all of us, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَأَيْمَانِهِمْ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ He's already made 100% oath that he will deceive us. Then it's going to be huge, and we need huge protection from Allah Azza wa Jal. From the other consistent evil whispers of a shaytan, as Allah Azza wa Jal would say, this is something continuous as well, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ A shaytan threatens you with poverty. This is something he's always continuous upon mankind. He threatens you with poverty. Therefore, don't give, hold back, consume each other's wealth unlawfully. Al-riba. You know, why do people, Aslan, the question is here, why do people consume each other's wealth unlawfully? Why do people steal from each other, cheat from each other, shortchange from each other? Why is there riba in this world? Why is all this? Because human beings are greedy. Because of greed. Every single dollar that is consumed through haram is because the person who consumed it is greedy. And why is mankind greedy? Why are people greedy? Because they fear poverty. And who is the one who made them fear poverty? الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر. It is a shaytan who threatened mankind poverty. Whereas, on the other side, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا Allah promised maghfirah. The more you give, He forgives. And fadl. Allah Azza wa Jal promised an openness. The more you give, He gives. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَمَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ Whatever you give, Allah Azza wa Jal would replace. Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are to be grateful, I will increase you. This was Allah's promise to mankind. So when you find someone withholding, not giving, consuming al-haram, he's greedy. And his greed came because he feared poverty. And who made him fear poverty? الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمْ الْفَقْرِ So even he obeyed the shaytan. The one who withholds is closer to al-shaytan than being to Allah's command. It's very serious. And we already discussed this matter in Ayatul Kursi. So as a result, you need to be aware of this matter. And the more you give, the more you're stepping on waswasa to shaytan. And you're saying that, I believe in Allah's promise. Not in your promise. I believe in Allah's promise. So I give. Because Allah said, يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا And the other difference is that whatever shaytan threatened you of, he himself is uncertain. Because he doesn't know that you have matters of the future. He doesn't know whether you're going to end up being in a state of poverty or not. Whereas Allah's promise is 100%. It is certain. فَإِذَنْ شُوفْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ How He's grabbed mankind from this and they're not even realizing this matter. Allahu Akbar. So how do we protect ourselves from the evil whispers of a shaytan? The word al-khannas highlights that. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ Al-waswas is highlighting the problem. It's highlighting the issue. It is highlighting the danger. His evil whispering. The word al-khannas is the solution. This shaytan has also been described by Allah as a khannas. What is khannas? Alhamdulillah, that he is described as al-khannas. Al-khannas, it comes from the word khanasa. Khanasa means to hide after appearing, to retreat and to come back. You know, they would say that khanasa al-dhabiyu, the D, you know, it jumps around. When it gets to the bushes and it sees someone, it hides in the bushes. Then it appears, then it hides. It appears and it hides. This is called khanasa in Arabic. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. Al-khunnas is the star that twinkles. It appears and then it disappears. It appears and it disappears. It retreats and then it comes back. Its light comes back on. For the idea of al-khannas is the one who appears and retreats. He comes and he goes. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ al-khannas, that shadda on the noon, it's an intensive form. So it implies the one that steps in and out frequently. He continues, he comes in and retreats. In and out, in and out. That's a quality of a shaytan. طيب, كيف يخنس? How does the shaytan retreat? How does he step back? We said the waswasa is the problem. When he's doing waswas, he's fi sudur al-nas, in the chest. But al-khannas is the solution. Al-khannas is when he's taking a step back. He's moving away from the human being, from mankind. How does he do that? Here, al-Hadith Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, الشيطان جاثم على قلب ابن آدم. Shaytan is sitting on the heart of mankind, on the son of Adam. فإذا ذكر الله خنس وإذا غفل وسوس. Whenever this mankind remembers Allah, engages in worship, وذكر الله, he retreats. This is how the shaytan goes back. بذكر الله and the worships. He's not there at the time. وإذا غفل وسوس. And when a person is in a state of heedlessness, a shaytan would come and he would whisper. Even the solution against the evil whispering of a shaytan is a very same quality of his, al-khannas, that would begin to become engaged. His quality of al-khans, to go back, would become active when you're active bi dhikrillahi azza wa jalla. Nothing disturbs a shaytan more than dhikrullah. This is why before we sleep there's dhikr of Allah. Before sexual relations, there is dhikr of Allah. Before you eat, after you eat, before you dress, after you dress, when you get into the car, after you, when you come into the masjid, after you leave the masjid, when you drink, anything you do, there is a dhikr. Shuf Allah's mercy upon mankind. Yes, he created a shaytan. He created him. And we said last time, shaytan as a creation is pure evil. But when you look at the wisdom of why he was created, there is goodness in it. And that is to test mankind. Who will obey Allah and who would be a slave of this shaytan? For there is a dhikr. It is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that all these adhkar are put in the day and the night. And these prayers are divided, 5 prayers a day. And then Ramadan comes. Wish shaytan is locked in Ramadan. And there is al-hajj. And there is these worships. And all of this, from its greatest benefits, is to keep the human being protected from the shaytan. The more ibadah, the more dhikr in your life, the more you are protected. See that? SubhanAllah, this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. When we make al-adhan, al-shaytan runs away. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he runs away. And once there was a companion, he was riding behind the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding in front of him and he's behind and his riding animal fell. He got sick or something, he tripped over something and it fell. For this companion that was on his ride, he said, "Da'is al-shaytan." He cursed the shaytan. May the shaytan be perished and destroyed. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La taqul ta'is al-shaytan." Don't curse him in this manner. Don't say that about a shaytan. Because if you say that, you cause him to grow, حَتَّى يَكُونَ مِثْلَ الْبَيْتِ, until he becomes the size of a house. He begins to grow. He inflates with arrogance and pride. Why? Because when you say ta'is al-shaytan, may the shaytan be destroyed, he'll assume, you're cursing me because I was in control of what happened to you. So you know I'm in control, so you're cursing me, so he gets big. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the shaytan, when you say ta'is, he'll say biquwwati. He'll say, it is because of my might and power you're cursing me, that's why. Rather, what are we supposed to say? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. When heck something happens, something falls from you, or some of you trip, and you say Bismillah. Don't curse the shaitan. Because when you say Bismillah, فَإِنَّكَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم says, فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا قُلْتَ ذَلِكَ تَصَاغَرْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ مِثْلَ الذُّبَابِ. He begins to shrink and he becomes small until he becomes the size of a fly. Because you fell Bismillah and you get up with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, so this is one of the means in how you get rid of him. And this is how he retreats. Retreats to the point where he becomes small. Wakaman as well, in the other hadith, there is difference of opinion concerning its authenticity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a shaytan has never been seen on a day in which he is most smallest, most humiliated, most crushed and defeated, other than the day of Arafah. On the day of Arafah, he is in ruins. He is destroyed on that day. Why? Because of the mercy and the blessing that comes down from Allah, and because the day of Arafah, what is the greatest dhikr on that day? We all know. What is it? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Imagine the billion Muslims that are reciting this dhikr the whole day. You're engaging in this. And we said, dhikrullah is the greatest weapon against him. He is finished on that day. فإذن this is to teach you that it is only with dhikrullah that you're going to have a hand and a control over your shaytan. بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The one who yuwaswis. Yuwaswisu is a present tense, meaning it implies continuity. We've always said, present tense implies continuity, meaning it'll keep happening. Every minute, every hour, it's always happening. Waswas, it continues until you die. And the story of Imam Ahmad is known. The shaytan comes and presents to him at the time of his death and tells him, Al-an, khalas, you're out of my hand. La, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah would say, la. La, and the story is long, but the idea is that a shaytan would continue to present until the last moment on earth, and he'll still try to trick you and deceive you into falling into something of the wrong. Heck, subhanAllah, wants to bring everyone to Jahannam with him. الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. في implies in, meaning deep inside, not على, on the outside, في. So he is immersed in sudur, plural, meaning all of mankind. No one is spared. It happens to everyone. The believer, the righteous, the non-righteous, the disbeliever. Kullu, it's all happening. Fi sudurin nas, in the chest of mankind. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say fi qulubin nas, in the heart of mankind, in the chest. As you're reading this ayah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah gives a beautiful analogy to explain what is all this. Why in the chest and not in the heart? He said this, he said that the heart is a castle. Think of the heart as a castle. And the chest is the open field around the castle. So you have a castle and you have the landscape, the greenery around the castle. The castle is the heart. This is Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah's analogy. And the green and the field around is the chest. So the shaytan, he goes around the castle. Yuwaswis fi sudur, he's in the sudur. He goes around the castle, around the heart. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Those righteous believers, whenever they are touched by a spinning evil whispering, طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. They rush to the remembrance of Allah, and يعني life is given back to them, and they observe and they see what's right and what's wrong. So the idea is he comes around. He's in that field. And if you continuously seek the protection of Allah, the dhikr, reading Surah An-Nas and other adhkar and worships, meaning you are guarding the heart. The heart is being guarded. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That the heart will find rest and comfort and peace and tranquility with dhikrullah. So long as the heart is engaged in worship and dhikrullah, the castle is closed. All he can do is evil whisper. When a person is away from dhikrullahi azza wa jal, and his dhikr reduces, and his iman in Allah is reducing, far away from the masjid, far away from righteous companionship, far away from knowledge, these are the three essentials to keep everything up. Masjid, knowledge, righteous companions. If these three are gone, you're slowly going to come down. The doors of the castle will begin to open slowly, slowly. And then a shaitan enters. He enters into a person. How do we know that the shaitan has entered into a person and now has taken control over him, and a person has fallen victim for waswasa to shaitan, and he's khalas in the end stages of his life, he's gone, this person? And very important, how do we know? Very simple. This is the test. This is the test. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعُصِيَانَ. A correct heart that is protected from the shaitan is a heart of a person who still loves al-Iman and righteous deeds, because it is Allah who instilled the love of Iman and decorated it in the hearts. So if you love the worship of Allah, you love Allah, His prophets, the angels, you love the salat, you love the righteous deeds, everything that is good, Bismillah, I'm coming. You rush to it, then the heart is good. It's safe, it's clean, it's pure. But if you happen to find, and at the same time, you hate disbelief, you hate sins, you hate immoral actions, this is a protected heart. Shaitan is only around the field. يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The shaitan enters, and a sign of his entry is that when you begin to hate Iman, it's opposite now, and you hate Islam, and you begin to hate the worship, and you find extreme laziness when it comes to worship, and you're starting to turn away slowly and slowly from al-masjid, from knowledge, from righteous companions, everyone just keep away from me. Not only that, to make things worse, the bad deeds become decorated in your eye, and you see them as being something good and pleasurable and entertaining and enjoyments. A person, meaning he has given into fitnatu shaytan, and he's now on the path of a shaytan. Hatta Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say about the evil, wicked, corrupt heart, he says, كَالْكُوزِ مُجَخِّيَ لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهِ. The heart becomes so corrupt, so dead, and controlled by the shaitan, that a person won't see the good for what it is. لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا. The good, he doesn't see it for what it is. He sees it bad. وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا. And the evil, he doesn't condemn it. The evil looks like something good. إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهِ. Only if the good suits his desire, he would say it's good. And if the bad, he wants to condemn it, he'll only condemn it if it suits his desire. Khalas, so that he doesn't have wahi, that he's controlling these matters and emotions in his heart. Hey, wallah. For these people, yani, that we see in today's time, of whatever filth they run to, such as LGBT communities, and people that legalize assisted suicide, and people that have, such as in this country, Masana, they say that polygamy is illegal. This is on the, and subhanAllah, some Muslims accept on this matter. It's because of the law of the land. People in this regard, what has happened? The heart has become corrupt. The heart has become corrupt. What is evil and horrible has been seen as something good. And al-halal marriage has been seen something as condemned. And if they see it as good, it's not because Allah legislated it, it's because ma ushriba min hawa'. It's because of a desire that he has. Let's just, everyone's all the same, no worries. You do what you like. And this is big trouble. This is a good sign that a person's heart has been corrupt, overtaken by a shaitan. Doesn't see the good for what it is, and doesn't see the evil for what it is. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan decorates their deeds for them. زُيِّنَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. But to the point where a shaitan زَيَّنَ لِكَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قَتْلَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ. You can imagine the heart becomes so corrupt and occupied by the shaitan that a person sees it as something good to kill his own children, like what Quraysh did, would slaughter their children, and they would bury their baby girls alive. And from the most incredible things I read on this matter, and I tried to understand, how can this deed be decorated to the shaitan? Decorated to Quraysh when they did it. How can it be decorated? Yani, this is your daughter. or even your children, because they would kill children out of poverty, right? How can it be decorated to grab your own child with your own hands and throw him in a hole? And then al-maw'uda, meaning to put soil back on until it becomes heavy on her lungs, lungs collapse and she dies. How can it be the case? Until I found something beautiful with al-Imam al-Alusi rahimahullah. Listen to what he said. He said the shaitan decorated this criminal act by telling Quraysh that if you kill your children, you are following the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they had ascribed themselves to Ibrahim. Well, Ibrahim was commanded by Allah to slaughter his son. So Allah saved Ismail, but for us, we need to also, everyone has to sacrifice a son as well. So let's kill. And they would feel good about it, as though they offered something. Now, instead of fearing poverty and so on, they've made it as we're offering something to our God. Show for decoration how it happened. Allahu Akbar. Don't underestimate how a shaitan would deceive mankind. And as the days go by, this increases and increases. At the end, Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Min al-jinnati wal-nas," meaning the one who performs this waswasa, the evil whispering, is not only from the jinn. It's not only the shaytan. Add to this, mankind as well. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that the evil whispering is not only from the jinn. Also, mankind cause evil whispering into other mankind. And so we're seeking Allah's protection from both of them. Min al-jinnati wal-nas. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. Even there is shayateen al-ins. There are devils from mankind. And shayateen al-jinn. And devils from al-jinn kind. What's the difference between al-jinn and shaytan? So you're not confused. Al-jinn is the creation itself. You have mankind. This is one type. Then you have jinn kind. This is another type. From within the jinn, the most rebellious of them, the disbelievers of them, are referred to as shayateen. Because from the jinn, there is Muslims. وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ. But when we say shaytan from jinn, meaning هذا, he's a kafir. And when we say shaytan from mankind, then he's also someone that you're seeking Allah's protection from. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Now, and so a person needs to be careful and be aware. Evil thoughts and evil whispers don't only come from al-jinn kind, they also come from mankind. And how do they come? In forms of doubts. And I'll conclude on this point. Shayateen al-ins are many. And because we have, everyone's got access to YouTube, to Instagram, to TikTok, and a lot of these shayateen al-ins, we'll call them. Shayateen al-ins. All they're after is fame and publicity and being that influencer, the so-called, right? Kafir. Publicizing, or he's marketing himself, right? Marketing himself. 1 minute clips, 30 second clips, that will cast in your mind a doubt that you will never be able to remove ever after that. Enter, you're listening to shayateen al-ins. A person needs to be careful. Al-waswasa doesn't only come from the jinn, it comes from the ins. Today it comes in the form, here, everyone's got shayateen al-ins in their phone. Do not listen to garbage. Do not listen to disbelievers that are in the field of psychology and philosophy. These people do not know Allah. Do not listen to them. So many people would say, take the good and take the bad. Do you know the good and the bad? People don't know the good and the bad. Hala in Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa', there's a dhikr that's going to come in where we're going to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra hadha al-yawm. I ask you the goodness of this day, because if you knew the good, why would you ask Allah? وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. I seek protection from the evil of this day. If you knew the evil, why would you be asking Allah? Even this concept of take the good and leave the bad, it's flawed. That's not true. People that are disbelievers, that speak in religious matters, do not give them an E. Don't listen to them. There's many of them. Many examples as well. I'm sure you should know without me mentioning. And I give you initials like AT. You know AT. Don't listen to AT. Don't listen to him. There's another one. I don't know where he resides. Yeah, that's more Jordan Peterson, if you've heard of him. Come on. Another person who he himself, where is it? He says, my biblical lectures attracted a large Muslim audience. Allahu Akbar. Muslims tune in to listen to his biblical lectures. What is he saying? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see Umar radiallahu anhu with a Torah, and he would sit and he would get angry, what are you doing with it? If Musa alayhi salam was he would have only followed me. He wouldn't even have followed a Torah. And the book was revealed on Musa alayhi salam. What are people doing listening to these people? How did this person here, he recorded something called a message to Muslims. And in this message, wallah, a deadly message. It is a message full of lies, full of rubbish and evil. The idea of his message to Muslims, which millions of Muslims tuned in to listen to, mashallah, his message, he's pushing that all religions are acceptable. This was his message, that all you Muslims, you're all sick in the head. Love everyone and accept everyone, because every religion on earth is accepted. And every religion on earth in one way or another would lead to the paradise. And he himself would say, let's unite as people of the book and negotiate our way to the paradise that we might truly attain. This is what he believed. The normalization of that all religions are of God and they all lead to the paradise. How can this be? This goes against the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. The only one accepted religion to Allah Azza wa Jalla is Islam, nothing else. Min al-jinnati wal-nas. There are shayateen from among al-insan who cast this doubt. And to the Muslim that is very low in knowledge, basic, this would sound decorative for him. You know what? This actually sounds really good. Let's just believe everyone's religion is accepted and everyone's got a path to the paradise. You can sell this to anyone. People love this. And then, yani, we're still telling people take the good and leave the bad. And other people don't know the difference between the good and the bad, you know? And between what I say and hate and violence is a completely, totally different thing, right? Now what we're saying here is do not listen to people that would cast doubt in your mind concerning your faith. And why I advise you this, because what I hear is dangerous to the Muslim's faith. What I've heard from these individuals and others, Allahu A'lam where they are, what they speak is dangerous to the Muslim's faith. Well, I don't care if 50% of his work is good. That's not, I can't say go take the good and the bad, because that 1% bad, you might not know it. It might put that seed of doubt in you. It leads to your kufr. Who's responsible for that? I will never take responsibility for this. And I'll advise you as well, do not take this responsibility upon yourself to encourage others to listen to people like this and take the good and the bad. Alhamdulillah, our mashayikh are known. Our scholars are known. They are many. We wish that if all people were to listen to them, they'd be scholars in their religion. Lakin subhanallah, once again, now this is why we're seeking Allah's protection. من الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. He decorates to people. What are you going to listen to this person here that's been sitting in the masjid for the last 15 years repeating his talks? Go somewhere else. Listen, look at the world. Like YouTube's given you a variety of speakers. Intellectual, philosophy, what? Listen. And it sounds decorating for people. And this is a form of entertainment today. Listen to what he has to say. Did you hear what he said? Did you see the way he put it? He gave it to him. Heck, 60 minutes. Don't involve yourself in these things. هذا اسمه لهو الحديث. It's known in the Quran as لهو الحديث. Idle, distracting speech. Keep away from it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إنه لي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.